Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and I am so glad that you've carved out some time to be with me and my cohort, my co-Bible teacher, my friend, and the regional director of Chosen People Ministries in New York City, Bobby Walter. So thank you, Bobby, for showing up.
Well, thank you, Mitch. Thank you for having me, as always. It's as you know, it's a pleasure. And just also want to extend our greetings and a hearty shalom to all of our listeners out there. We are grateful that you're tuning in.
And we've been starting with the Old Testament, but let's have a little twist here. Let's start with the New. 1 Timothy 6:15, mm-hmm. where Paul says, let me read it a little bit before, verse 14, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, which he will bring about at the proper time. And then Paul describes the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And, you know, if you want to know what the Greek says, it says the same thing as the Hebrew, which is he's King of kings and Lord of lords. And, but it's so wonderful to recognize that these titles, these names of God reflect his character. He is the true king, not only of the earth, but he's king over all of his creation, which includes the demons. It includes the devil. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And of course, in Revelation chapter 19:16, going forward to look back again, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no doubt that the most prominent name for Jesus at the second coming will be King of kings and Lord of lords, because at that time, he will take his rightful role as King of kings and Lord of lords. And that is a very important, critical role that, of course, he was the king of Israel while he was alive on earth. In fact, he died the king of Israel. But he rose the Lord of the universe. His ministry was limited among Israel. And so that whole ministry of Jesus from his resurrection to his second coming continues to expand dramatically. Admittedly, he's God in the flesh. Admittedly, he is limiting his role at times. Jesus has always limited his role, but he stops limiting that role, you know, and you start seeing. It's almost like the veil to the glory starts coming off bit by bit, inch by inch, until at the second coming, you realize that this babe from Bethlehem, this humble servant of God who bore our sins, who suffered, who died, that this person who did all that is not just a human being who was suffering. It's not just that he was weak. In every moment of every day from his birth on forward, he has always been the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but at his second coming, he takes his role.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this also ties in with just the greater theme that we see in the New Testament that's based on a theme in the Old Testament, and that is the kingdom of God and the implication and how it fits into the overall plan of God as revealed in Scripture. Right now, creation, the world, it's been chaotic for quite some time, since the Garden of Eden, since we willfully chose to spurn God's authority, right, and ignore his command, and even go a step further and straight up disobey his command eating that fruit from the tree was like spitting in the face of the king. It was a total insult. And as a result, we've been dealing with the consequences. But this King of Kings and Lord of Lords is gracious and merciful and loves us. And he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to lay down his life for us. And now, at this point, he is the king, and his kingdom is spreading, right? It's
absolutely.
It's repairing the chaos, but it won't find its culmination, like you said, and really like the authors of the New Testament, Paul and John in 1 Timothy 16 and Revelation 19, as they're using this title for Yeshua, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, they both tie it into that second coming, and that's when we'll have the full flowering of the kingdom of God.
Bobby, we love what we call biblical theology. We love starting in Genesis and moving all the way through Revelation as it progresses towards the book of Revelation. We love looking at the beginning and looking at the end, and it's just awesome to see how Scripture is so consistent and connected. And I mean, who could have possibly invented this kind of a book?
Right.
And so when I go back, for example, to the book of Deuteronomy, so in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, listen to this description of God. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments, his statutes, which I command to you today. Behold, now listen to this description. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens. Everything that is made was made by God, both on earth and above the earth and below the earth. And he is the rightful king over all of his creation. So behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. And then in verse 17, I love this, Moses says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods. The God of gods. The other gods are false gods. So he's the Elohim of Elohim. Remember our names for God. He's the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He's the Adonai of Adonai. He is the Lord of lords. Now listen to this part. The great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who, and I love it, you know, Moses slips this in, who doesn't show partiality or take a bribe. And then this description is picked up, for example, in the book of Daniel. So in Daniel chapter 2, there's an interesting passage where Daniel's brought into the king's presence, and the servant of Nebuchadnezzar brings Daniel, who can interpret dreams, to Nebuchadnezzar. And reading from verse 27, Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, now listen to this, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and visions in your mind while you're in your bed. And so we understand that the king of Israel is a king above every earthly king. And the answers are found in him and through him. But he is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries. And further in Daniel chapter 4, do you have time and patience for this, Bobby? Because I think it's really fantastic.
Oh, I'm locked in, Mitch.
Okay. How about you, my friends? You know, you can't read too much Bible when you're doing a Bible study, can you? Okay. So Daniel chapter 4, just to show you how consistent all of this is. So in verse 34, this is after Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, regained his mind, and came to some conclusions about the superiority of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me. and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. Now listen to this. This is how a Gentile king who was used to controlling a good part of the known world at that time, this is how he describes the God of Israel. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. So remember, Daniel had a very active understanding of what was going on in the heavens with the God of Persia and Michael the archangel who was protecting Israel. I mean, there was a lot of activity. But the God of Israel is the God over all angels, all Gentile kings. And he does according to his will in the hosts of heaven among the inhabitants of earth, and no one could ward off his hand or say, what have you done? So we see that one of the names for God, that remember, the names of God reveal his nature and his character. And these names, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reveal his sovereignty, his lordship, his kingship over all the earths, the heavens, the earth, and all the kings of the earth. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's exactly the name that Jesus is given, because Jesus is God in the flesh. And so, as is his Father, so is the Son, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And if you know him as your Savior, then you understand that he's Lord of your life. You need to submit to him. Bobby, we need to submit to him. We need to not only believe he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but we need to behave in a way that show that we recognize that he is sovereign over our lives and he cares for us and he never lets us go. But we need to obey him and we need to live for him. And I think that's at the end of all of these names for God, as we conclude this wonderful study, we need to recognize that knowing his names, which reveal his character, and knowing his nature, knowing his character, is really a wonderful thing, but we need to respond to who he is by recognizing that he's Lord of our lives, that Jesus died for us and rose from the dead and is Lord of our lives. We need to recognize that he wants us to serve him faithfully. He takes care of us. He loves us. He doesn't want us to fail. And if we do, he's there to hold us up. He is everything to us. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And one day he will rule on his rightful throne in Yerushalayim, Bobby, in Jerusalem. But that kingdom might be short term, only 1,000 years. But then he will be given, 1 Corinthians 15, he will be given the lordship and kingship over the earth and over all creation, all restored and renewed creation forever and ever and ever. And if you know him, then you know the Lord who will rule over all forever. Shalom again, friends. I want to let you know that we have an exciting event coming up on June 20th. And it will be held in Manhattan. And you can find out more about it by going to chosenpeople.com/radio. Now, let me tell you what's happening. We will have Messianic artists from Israel. We'll have Josh Aaron. We'll have Aaron Schust, Yaron Cherniak. These are great artists. Mike Brown will be speaking. I'll be speaking. Some others will be speaking. And the name of the event, the rally, is Oppose Anti-Semitism, Stop the Hate. And so we believe that evangelical Christians, born-again Christians, really do want to do something to oppose the anti-Semitism that's happening all throughout our country. And so if you are anywhere near New York City, it's a free event. We'd love you to come and support us and enjoy the opportunity to hear from wonderful musicians and some good speakers, and we will deal with this issue. And we're trying to rally the troops. We just want born-again believers to stand for the Lord by opposing anti-Semitism and showing the Jewish community that Christians care about the Jewish people.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Chosen People. Well, coming up, we're going to hear from a very well-known musician, Marty Goetz.
Hi, my name is Marty Goetz. I'm a singer of songs, and because of the kind of music I do, I'm referred to as a messianic artist. So I'm here to speak to you as a messianic singer of songs. And I've been doing it for quite a while, probably since the early 80s, late 70s, when I became a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach. I had come to California to seek my fame and fortune as a songwriter and a singer. And a couple weeks into that time, I came face to face, figuratively speaking, with Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of Israel. And I've been making music for him and through him and with him ever since. My earliest memories of Jewish music is from the synagogue. I was in the Cantor's Club at Temple on the Heights in Cleveland, Ohio. I learned to sing liturgical music. I learned to cant. Then on Friday nights, a Shabbos dinner at my grandparents' house in Cleveland, I would sing the prayers for the wine and for the bread. And so I was really steeped in that kind of traditional liturgical type Jewish music. And we had a great cantor at our temple named Cantor Saul Meisels, and he really made an impression on me. But I never thought I'd be doing cantorial music or anything of that sort, because the music that I heard at home was more along the lines, it was also Jewish music, but it was not messianic. Things like West Side Story and This is the Land of Milk and Honey by Jerry Herman and Fiddler on the Roof, of course, which came out when I was a young teenager. So that was my earliest influence in music. And ironically, I'm still doing that kind of music today. When I became a believer in Yeshua, I began to get aware of messianic music. And one of the first influences I had was a group called Liberated Wailing Wall, in which was one of the leaders, well, the leader of Chosen People Ministries, Mitch Glazer. I remember listening to that. It was unlike anything I'd ever heard. It drew from kind of the Eastern European oompa, 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 oompa. Shtetl music, as I kind of like to call it. And it fused it with these messianic messages and these spiritual messages about the gospel, about the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach, who is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the nations. And I was kind of gripped by it. And the first attempt I made to kind of not imitate it, but be influenced by it was a song called Jew Born Anew. And it was a song that incorporated my testimony. And then I started to write, a lot of people kind of identified me with that song even to this day. And also I began to incorporate Hebrew into my songs, always trying to incorporate Hebrew liturgy, things that would speak Jewish messianics, things that would speak about Yeshua in a Jewish way. Ever since I became a believer, I've known I was a Jewish man, because one of the prayers I said before I came to the Lord was, Lord, if you are the Messiah of Israel, you have to show me. And he did. And what has influenced me is that I know even more in my, what I like to call full of days, I know more that it was really significant in my life that I was a Jewish man brought into the kingdom. And I said that to my wife, who was my wife-to-be at the time, Jennifer Yaffe, who became Jennifer Yaffe Goetz. First date we took, we went through a 3-hour walk. I sat on the stoop with her and I said, you know, it's important that we're Jewish. And she said, I'm not sure I know that. And I said, well, I'm not sure what it means, but I know it's true. And so here we are we're senior citizens, are seasoned citizens, as some people say, and we're grandparents, and we'd love to be here a much longer time, but we all know that our life on this earth is limited. But we know more today than we did then that we're to be a voice for the Jewish people, for the Messiah. We're here, number one, as a witness. If you're Jewish and you're still alive on this earth, you are a witness that there's a living God who preserves the people of Israel. And if you're a believer in Yeshua, the Messiah, you're a double witness, because you're a witness of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is the King of the Jews and the Lord of the nations. It's hard to describe my style of Messianic music. As a matter of fact, in the beginning, when Messianic believers started to get wind of who I was, they weren't quite sure about me, because I'm really a balladeer at heart. As I said, drawing from those Tin Pan Alley, those Broadway show tunes, popular music, I was making music that had some Messianic flavor, but it was really just my own style of music. I always tell people, kind of like if Barry Manilow got saved, it would sound a little like that. And my daughter Misha mentioned that she writes from the scriptures. I've been writing from the scriptures from the beginning. The first song I ever wrote was Psalm 23. I opened the Bible, it's the only scripture I knew, and I put music to it. And lo and behold, it was recorded by a lady named Debbie Boone, for whom I worked for about 10 years. Her father, of course, Pat Boone, wrote the words to Exodus. So I was in a really good environment there. I was with people who loved Yeshua. They call him Jesus, of course. But I also was with people who loved Israel. And in these last days, we want to give ourselves, Jenny and I and my whole family, completely to the vision of Messiah returning to this earth as to sit on the throne of David, to be the king over all Israel and the Lord over all the nations. As we say, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That will be our anthem. That will be the theme of our songs and of our expression until we are here no longer, and until he comes to be with us forever and forever. God bless all y'all. Shalom, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Messiah Jesus our Lord.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about this weekly program, or if you're curious to discover the deep and rich Jewish history of your faith, then let me encourage you to stop by our website. You'll find us online at chosenpeople.com/radio. And we even have a free gift just for saying hello.
You know, Bobby, God's grace is sometimes hidden in the midst of life's greatest difficulties. But tragedy opens our eyes to his presence in ways that the good times never can. It's during the difficult times that we recognize he's always present and powerful, and that even death and destruction cannot keep us from him. It's good to remember the Holocaust and the evil intent Satan still has in mind for God's ancient chosen people. The devil always wants to destroy the Jewish people in order to prevent God's promises from unfolding and to show that God is untrustworthy. This should motivate us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and to remember his grace in the midst of life's difficulties. And to help you do that, you can request your copy of the book, Never Again, The Holocaust Remembered. Just visit us online at chosenpeople.com/radio.
Or you can ask for the book, Never Again, The Holocaust Remembered, when you call us. The number to dial is 888-2-YESHUA. And now let's close today's program with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. V'yasem lecha shalom. V'yasem lecha shalom. V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'Shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.